G'day and welcome to Aussie Vision. I'm Dale.
And g'day, I'm Mike.
Well, we're back after the pre-party season, Mike. The rehearsals are about to start today, actually, over in Sweden. So I thought it was probably worth us coming back to check out kind of the state of play.
Bin fire, I think, is where we're at. Is that right? Pretty much.
Well, it has been an interesting few weeks, so it's been kind of nice not to be on the podcast at this point. But we thought with rehearsals about to begin, we do want to talk about some of the kind of favourites coming up. And of course, it's actually been a really busy time for us, hasn't it, over the last few weeks?
Certainly has been. We've got a couple of things on the go, something that'll be coming out next week, I believe.
Yes, we do have a project that we've been working on, which we can't say what it is yet. It's not like the most exciting thing in the world, but we're very excited by it. So you'll see news of that next week.
Yes, we'll keep you informed of that. And then, of course, we have a trip for the Eurovision Grand Final planned as well, Dale.
Yes, we're going to have a weekend. Not in the cold climate of Malmö, Sweden. It's going to be in the cold climate of Canberra, Australia.
No, I was going to say it's probably not much difference in weather, to be honest. But yes, we'll be doing a live recording of our podcast at the National Film and Sound Archive.
Yes, that is right. You've got the name right. Finally. Great.
Sure, it's not the audio. Anyway.
No, it's definitely the archive. So we are doing this live podcast recording on the Eurovision Grand Final Eve. So Saturday, the 11th of May at 6 p.m. We will be joined by a special guest.
Yes, we have Australia Decides contestant from 2019, Alfie Arcuri, will be joining us.
Yes, and of course, Alfie wrote a song for Eurovision in 2020 for Cyprus as well, and he's competed in international competitions, and including San Marino last year, to try and go to Eurovision. So he'll be fantastic. He'll be performing, and he'll be a guest on the live podcast as well.
Absolutely, helping us preview the grand final.
So for anybody in Canberra, or if you fancy a weekend in Canberra, you will get details in the show notes. The link will be there, and there is a discount code as well for Aussie Vision Podcast listeners. So there's quite a few things happening in Canberra, so check it out. We'd love to see you there.
Absolutely.
All right, well, let's get on to the contenders for the Eurovision crown. Well, according to the odds at least. Now, since last time we left you all, at that point, it was Croatia who were the favourites, and now that's changed to Switzerland, hasn't it, Mike?
Yeah, these things happen over pre-party seasons, don't they? I think Switzerland and Nemo has been so impressive throughout all their performances, so that's definitely got the money flowing in their favour.
Exactly. I think we all knew that the song was really interesting and very good, and the video was fantastic, and I think we all had the question, like, how are they going to be able to perform that live? And, well, they did. They did a very good job over the pre-party season.
Yeah, flawless. Very, very difficult song to sing, but absolutely killing it. So it should be a very good stage production, one would imagine.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because I've been really impressed with their performance of it. They do a really good job of the whole thing. But I still think my question about this is, how is that going to come across in the stage performance? Do you think it's worthy of being the Eurovision favourite at this point?
I think so. I mean, obviously, it's a pretty open field, probably one of the most open fields we've had in years. But definitely, this does stand out. And I think it's got that jury appeal, like, down pat. Like, that's going to go very, very well with the jury. I guess I've always had that question mark about, will the general public on first listen get their head around it? And maybe that question mark remains, but at this stage, looking good, looking very, very good.
Yeah, I think they're on for a good result here. I think it reminds me a little bit of Jean's Tears, where I kind of always felt that that was going to do well with the jury, and it did, it won it. And there were always kind of some question marks about how the public would go for it, and they went for it well, but not well enough. Saying that, this year is really quite open. So even if you got a similar score of a Jean's Tears, you might find yourself with a chance to win. So, or you get a big enough jury score, you might not be able to be caught because everyone's eating each other on the televote.
I think being in English is helping with the accessibility of this as well, which is probably something it's got over Jean's Tears, for example. But yeah, it's going in the favourite at this point, and I think for a good reason.
We actually talked to Nemo about the pressure of being the favourite in the odds and also the difficulty of doing that song live.
I think right now I'm just taking it as a great little extra boost of motivation for the upcoming weeks. We've been rehearsing really hard, and I'm so happy with the staging and how it's coming along. So it's just all coming together really nicely, and I know betting odds are just betting odds and they can go up and down. So I'm not trying to focus too much on them, but it's really nice to see how people connect with the song and how they believe in the song and in me as a performer. So I'm just taking it as a little motivation right now. It's a very challenging song in general, and it takes a lot of energy and a lot of focus to deliver that, and especially with the performance. So like the staging and stuff, it all comes together, and it's quite a demanding piece, but I think that's what makes it so cool and interesting. And I'm really just looking forward to being very focused and present and trying to convey just the original feeling I had when writing the song, and hopefully just be very with myself in that moment. I think that's really important, to be present.
Well, I have to admit, I really like the way they are approaching it. Like, being a favorite can almost be crushing, but no, they're taking it as a real boost and a real spur on, you know, like a big tick. So I really love that. And also the difficulty of that song. My gosh, it's so hard. The vocal there, it's just so, you know, challenging. Hopefully they don't cook their voice during the rehearsals or something. That's probably one of the dangers there, because it is very, very tough.
Exactly. And what a lot of artists always tell us in these interviews is that, you know, they want the music to connect. And I think by being favorite in the odds, as they say, you're being loved by people. Yeah. They have faith in this, and they obviously connect with the song and Nemo's performance. So that's got to be a plus. But come on, there's got to be a bit of pressure being favorite as well.
Probably not. When was the last time Switzerland were favorites? Like, it would be a while.
True. One thing in the favor, though, Switzerland don't get super hyped about it. They kind of chill. So it's not like the whole country's probably getting as crazy as maybe our next person we're going to talk about, which is Croatia. Baby Lasagna with Rim Tim Tuggy Dim was a favorite. A lot of hype at home. There's videos of the entire country doing it. They all want to win. What do you think its chances are?
I think they're going to be a bit disappointed, unfortunately. I think it's a great song. I love it personally. We've seen the live performances throughout the pre-parties, I think, have got better and better and better. That's a very good sign. But I still think it's going to be an uphill battle with this one, probably more with the juries than the televote. But having said that, the televote's got a lot of different options. So, yeah, I just don't know if it's going to amass the points.
Yeah, I think it's going to do good on both sides and good overall. And look, remember Croatia. I mean, their best in recent years has been 13th. They haven't made the top 10, I think, since back right at the start of the century, or even 1999 or something like that. So no wonder they're excited. And I do think the chances of winning aren't great. I just don't think Baby Lasagna is probably at that point in his career to really own the stage like a Nemo does and other artists have done before. And a lot of people make the comparisons to Cardia. I know it's exhausting, but at the same time, Cardia had so much stage presence. Mm. And I think Baby Lasagna's got so much better and does have good stage presence. He doesn't have that level.
Yeah, I'll kind of agree with that. I suspect Croatia will throw a bit behind this. They're not really, you know, noted for their staging, etc. But yeah, I think they are pretty excited. So I'd imagine they're going to throw a bit of money behind this, but he's still got to pull it off. And that could be the issue. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, if it has, the good thing is if they can pull it off, I think it has more immediate appeal than a lot of the other public vote lovers. Everyone liked this on first listen. And it's almost other ones have taken it over afterwards, like Europuppers, etc. I think this is more accessible than anything else. It's whether it just has the impact, I think, is the question mark.
Yeah, absolutely.
Netherlands, they have been flying up the odds because this is going just crazy over in Europe, hitting the charts, getting everywhere, doing well, and a good little PR campaign as well.
I was going to say, it seems like a very successful and thought out campaign, actually. I don't think this is happening by accident. For me, it was always going to be this. It was always going to get some radio airplay and get some hype prior to the competition because it's just so catchy and it's such an earworm. So I'm not surprised it's got momentum. We'll see if it can carry that through the rehearsals. But Eurovision a lot is about momentum. And if you're coming in and you're really steaming ahead, you tend to drag people along for the ride.
And I think that's really important for juries with a song like this. We spoke about it when he was first elected, that this couldn't be a song that you just rock up to Eurovision with and then hope the juries like. you need that campaign so it's out in the mainstream and it's doing well in charts and it's doing well in the zeitgeist, because generally juries are a little more generous to those songs. They will go, okay, well, there's an overall impression. That's what that mark is for.
Well, you want to try and find an excuse to market highly. Yes. And if you go, well, this is a massive hit, I hear it everywhere, you're going to be inclined to vote it highly.
Yeah, and it's not going to do high with the jury, but we know that if you come around a fourth place or anywhere similar, you've got a chance to still come back and win. So I still think that's going to be difficult. I think this does has a potential for a big public vote, but there's also a lot who really just see this first time and just go no and laugh at it, not laugh with it. So, but you don't need to win over everybody to get a good public vote, you know?
I've been on a journey with this one. I probably started with, I think this is a contender. Then I went into, no, I can't see this winning. Now I see it kind of almost winning again. So I'm a bit up and down on this one. I think it a lot to do with that stage performance. If they can make it cohesive and sell that package, it's got points.
It's so catchy.
Yeah.
It's so catchy.
It's got points.
And I'm obsessed. I'm absolutely obsessed. It is my favorite of the year. We did a little mini review and rank on the Patreon where I did declare that this is my favorite winner of the year. I love it. It's not Italy. It's not Sweden. It's Netherlands. And I would be so happy if this won. But I'd be happy if Croatia won too, because I'd like to go there. All right. Let's go to Italy here. Kind of the fourth hanger on, really. It's kind of all been about those three a lot, and then Italy's still just been hanging in there like they usually do.
A bit of a Marco Mengoni from last year kind of thing, you know, hanging around that top five in the odds and probably hanging around top five come the end of the scoreboard, I've got a feeling. There's something incredibly pleasing about this whole song. You know, she really can perform it. We've seen her do it from Sanremo through the pre-party season. I think Italy will package this up well. I just think solid, solid, solid. I don't know if it's got the real grab to, you know, get that trophy, but it's going to be good. I think she's going to be good.
Yeah, I love her performance. It's going to be about her stagecraft, because the song itself, like, you don't kind of listen to that song and go, yeah, I love it straight up, and it has an amazing hook. Like, even the hooks are like the whole, it's, you know, it's about boring, right? And it sounds a bit boring the way she kind of, it's delivered well, but if you're the first time listener, like, it's not a hook like Soldi, and it's not a vocal like Marco Mengoni. It's not a big rock thing like Måneskin. So I'm not sure it's going to get the usual public vote that Italy gets. I still think it'll do well, but I just don't think it'll get the big one. It's not that obvious vote grabber. And I think there's also other things for the jury compared to when they might have gone for other Italian stuff. And they've never been super great on Italian. The juries have been a little bit harsh to them. So overall, I don't see this in the top three. I see this kind of anywhere from like fifth down to like eighth, ninth. Like, I see it. It wouldn't surprise you not to see this very high.
Interesting. Because like when we watched Sanremo, this was exactly what jumped out at me. Like, I loved it from the first time I listened. So I'm interested to hear that you don't think it's got that hook, because I definitely think it has. And when there's a lot of people jumping around and on pogo sticks or whatever they're going to be doing, this might just be the sensible one that, you know, streaks through the middle and gets third and third and wins the trophy. Who knows?
True. Look, I mean, it's definitely quality. I mean, there's no doubt it's quality. I'm just probably trying to guess what the public and jury will do. I just think when Annalisa's song had, that was a hook. This was more about, I love her and I love the overall impression. I wasn't like, I love the song.
Okay.
But maybe that's just a personal thing.
I think it is.
All right. Well, those are the top four, and they're quite clearly the top four in the voting. But there's obviously some other ones that are the kind of dark horses hanging around, including one that we've been big on the whole time, Michael, Ukraine.
Oh, absolutely. I think people are sleeping on this a bit. Obviously, the situation in Ukraine is still ongoing. There's going to be sympathy for that. They will get votes for that. We can pretend they're not, but they will. And I think it's got some real jury appeal as well. So it's not going to get the score of a Stefania or anything like that, but I think they could easily replicate what they did last year as far as a placing goes. And I think this is a better package than last year.
Yeah, remember they came sixth last year, very poor in the jury, and third or fourth, I think, in the public. And this has got way more for people. There already was a backlash of not kind of voting for Ukraine, but there was also a lot of made about Ukraine there. So there was that little boost too. So I do think also, yes, the sympathy isn't going to be as much as it has in the past. And it's what everybody says, but they discount any of it, you know. They also discount the fact there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Ukrainian refugees across Europe who will vote.
Yes.
And they will vote for Ukraine. And that will help that vote. And this has so much more for the jury. It's really quite lovely and moving. So, again, it could be a third and third and win this year. Like, you don't have to be huge, I think, to win this competition.
I mean, we've seen in their national final and the pre-party season, they can perform this song easily. Like, it's quite good. What we haven't really seen is that package. And if you can bring the staging that pulls at the heartstrings that this song does, you know, lend itself to, oh my gosh, I think you've got real votes coming your way. So yeah, I'm expecting them.
And it might be that nice palate cleanser with all the kind of craziness going on.
Mm.
Another one that I think will do very well in the juries is France. I just won the Euro jury kind of mock vote that they do. And I think everyone's been saying for a long time, this has very good potential to do well with the jury. I think there's definitely question marks about the public vote with France.
Mm.
So I do think this is definitely for a chance of a much better result than people are thinking. But I'm not sure if it can take out the whole thing. I think he'd need to make a moment of that standing back from the microphone to grab that public vote. But if he suddenly won, it wouldn't be like, oh my God, I'm absolutely shocked at this one. I'd be surprised, but I wouldn't be shocked.
I'd be shocked. look, again, I agree with you. This has just got jury written all over it, right? You know, maybe possibly even a jury winner because of its almost its simplicity. It's almost so much more simple than Nemo, for example. Mm. And traditionally people love this kind of music, or there's a certain percentage of the audience do. Look at Voila, for example, you know. But you're right, it's probably about that televote. And sometimes people don't come for France, particularly when it's in French. So yeah, be interesting. But it should do well, though, you'd imagine.
Yeah, and they normally do if it's simple French, and this is simple French.
Mm.
But it's going to be about the staging, those impact, those moments. But look, I do think they're on for a top 10, which I think would be a really good result. I think they've got their eye set on higher, though, with an artist like Slamon.
Mm.
So we'll just have to wait and see how it goes.
Be interesting to see how they stage it.
Mm.
Can be a little hit and miss, the French.
There's no one really else that has, I think, a shot at this time until we see the staging, and maybe someone will Kate Miller hike here.
Yeah, exactly. I can't see anyone sprinting from the pack, but you never know. You never know.
Yep, very open year. Talking about Kate Miller-Heinke, let's talk about Australia. And I think a bit of a kind of build-up that reminds me a little bit of 2019 with Zero Gravity. Electric Feels with One Milk Ali, One Blood.
Mm.
Very much going under the radar.
There is no radar at this point, Dale, which is interesting. And I think that is a deliberate tactic, to be honest. You know, they got announced. They've done some domestic kind of press and some global press. Not an awful lot. No pre-party performances. We've seen a small snippet of a vocal by Zachariah. So I've got that feeling the strategy is go in nice and quiet and then go boom, because I think we've got something up our sleeve with the staging possibly.
Yeah, I think they've definitely got something in mind about this, which is really interesting. We hear little bits and pieces, but not enough to formulate something here. I'm sorry. We've got a couple of days till we get photographs, so maybe we'll get to see it then. But look, we're not going to get some impact like a Kate Miller-Heinke flying in the air, but I do think this has always been about the live performance. Mm-hmm. It's about Zachariah's voice. It's about, I think, doing something special live in the arena, which will be really interesting. The only thing we know is Brenda McLean, who is a singer here in Australia, is going to be at least one backup vocalist for it. So that's one thing we know at this stage. And I think it was still a question whether or not Brendan would be on stage or not as well. So I think they're obviously going to trial a few things during rehearsals, as that's what they're there for. But yeah, very, very quiet on the preparation. I like coming in and surprising. Kind of wish there was just a little bit more going on, because again, as we talked about building up to a jury and things like that, I wouldn't have minded just a little bit more, maybe just one performance somewhere or something, even from a video or something.
I mean, we talked about momentum with Netherlands. I mean, we've got no momentum, but so maybe that's a surprise tactic, as I say. It seems like a strategy, a deliberate strategy.
Yeah, I do think so as well. We can't go backwards anyway, that's for sure. Look, we're doing okay in things like in the OJ poll. I think we're around 20th. You know, we've seen some public react videos where it did very well, for example, but again, in the Euro jury, it didn't do so well. So these things don't matter too much at this stage. Mm. Now, we did get a chance to talk to Electric Fields, and we've just got a little couple of snippets from that. One is about how they actually chose a song, which is really interesting. Mm. And also Zachariah's response to the, I guess, fan reaction to the video and wanting to maybe potentially see more.
like, actually, yes, we would like to, throw a song in the ring. Then we had to look at what songs we wanted to throw. It was kind of funny because we were having a thing with, oh, we've got this one or this one. And one of the ones we were considering was a ballad. Another one was a traditional Inma that we have collaborated with. I went to our sort of personal private back catalogue and found a folder that said Eurovision. So we had a look at what songs were in there, and we realized back when we did Straight Aside, so we had a look in there and found this song, which I don't know what the working title was, but the opening line was actually self-referential to Zachariah opening a song, standing in the middle of the Eurovision stage, which is the I stand in the eye of the spiral, one of the billions, because of the scale of the moment. And then as we looked at the lyrics, we realized we had imbued it with a philosophy that we felt was giant enough for such a profound moment, which is human connectedness, something timeless.
And it's just the aesthetic as well, be having been put on this platform and our aesthetic be looked at the way it is. It's really nice that they're looking because it gives us a voice in the perspective and the perception on what we're doing and how we play with that. And we're just not, we don't want to be mediocre. We want to play. Like we've already proven we can do a nice song like 2000 or whatever. Like we can play with whatever we want to play with. But this here was hitting to the heart, and it's a stage song. So they can just wait, and you can wait patiently. And I'm not bothered. Like, we know we can deliver a song, and we're going to have fun. That's the main thing, is that we're going to enjoy it. But we're good at what we do. And I think that's why SBS got us as well.
Well, we're just going to have to wait, Dale. What I do like here is I feel they've got a quiet confidence about what they're going to deliver, and that is encouraging for me. I mean, if they were a little like, oh yeah, we'll see how it goes, I might be a little worried. But no, they've got a real confidence about how this is going to play out. Interesting, they kind of had bits of the song, at the back of the cupboard somewhere. Like, gosh, what else have they
Yeah, well,
got?
exactly. It's interesting, it's back from 2019, but also you can see they had a starting point. They've made it obviously for now. But yeah, we do have to wait. And I totally agree. There really was a quiet confidence and there was a real maturity in the both of them. And I think a confidence in their craft and in what they do. Like we saw them in 2019 at the press, call and things like that. They are like a different duo. They were not ready for Eurovision 100%. They are ready now and they're going to make the most of the moment. And I feel confident we're going to get through and let's wait and see what happens.
They're very experienced performers. They do a lot of festivals, a lot of live gigs here in Australia. They know what they're doing when they get out on stage. So, yeah, I'm confident they'll deliver the song very, very well. If we supply some very good staging, then again, I think people are sleeping on us a little bit, but that's nothing new for Australia.
It's nothing new for Australia. We've seen it every year, year in, year out. So,
Every year we're a non-qualifier. As soon as we announce our song, congratulations, you're not qualifying, and then we end up in the top 10.
Yep. So we'll wait and see what happens. All right. Well, look, I think the only thing is we've also had a few other interviews. Liv from the team spoke to Kayleen, which was a really great interview. And Hayley as well spoke to Hedda Björk from Iceland. So they're great. Check them out on our YouTube channel. We'll put the link in the show notes.
Also, the Swedish boys.
Of course, and Craig spoke to Marcus and Martinus. That was really interesting because
interesting dynamic, isn't it?
There's definitely a boss twin. And they really take their stuff seriously. This whole fun outward demeanor, they are very serious and they want to do well. And I think they're a dark horse to do much better than people think.
This has got top 10 written all over
Oh,
it.
100% top 10. I think the juries will come for this.
Yep.
And another thing to say, Liv and Hayley will also be joined by Sam and Cooper and Kyle over in Malmö as the Ausvision team on the ground because we're not going this year.
Yeah, good stuff. I'm really excited for them. First time in the press center for everyone except Liv there. So yeah, excellent. Should be really, really good fun for them.
Yeah, they'll be doing all the hard work on the ground here. We will be doing a lot of coverage, of course, on the ground here in Australia, in Brisbane and also Canberra as well, as mentioned before. But In the meantime, enjoy rehearsal week. Let's see what comes up. And I reckon a lot of things are going to change in the next 7 days.
Absolutely. So thanks so much for joining us.
Catch you later.
As always, thanks for joining us and thank you for your support. You can follow us on our social media channels at AussieVisionNet.
And if you want to support the work that we and 20 AussieVision volunteers do and get some really good bonus content, then you can subscribe to our Patreon. The link is in the show notes.
Thanks very much.
Catch you later.